A Story Publishing presents Economic Crescendo. Welcome to our journey into the essentials of how an economy functions, a story of numbers, policies, and ideas that shape everyday life. Imagine sitting down with a friend who's not an economist, but is curious about what those buzzwords on the news really mean. We begin with gross domestic product, GDP. Picture the entire economy as a giant pie made up of all the goods and services produced within a country in a year. When news outlets talk about GDP growth, they're referring to that pie getting a little bigger, a sign that businesses, farms, factories, and service providers are all contributing to an expanding economy. Recently, when the U.S. economy posted a modest growth rate, the message was clear. More dollars were being generated through trade, to meet innovation and consumer spending. Next comes inflation, the pace at which prices for everyday items like groceries, gas, and movie tickets slowly climb. Think of inflation as a subtle upward drift in the price of your morning coffee over time. A gentle rise in prices is normal in a healthy economy, but when those hikes accelerate unexpectedly, they can squeeze household budgets and cloud business forecasts. In recent U.S. data, core inflation, prices excluding volatile items such as fuel and food, has been in the spotlight, sparking debates about how to tame rising costs without slowing growth too much. Our next stop is unemployment, that ever-important pulse of the labor market. Unemployment measures how many people are actively seeking work but aren't currently employed, offering a snapshot of job availability and economic health. When unemployment is low, more people are finding work, and incomes tend to be steady. When it climbs, it raises a red flag that businesses might be pulling back or restructuring. A sudden surge in jobless claims often signals that the broader economic gears could use a bit of a nudge. Now let's consider nominal versus real values. Nominal values are like the price tags you see in a store, straightforward and unadjusted for time or shifts in buying power. Real values, by contrast, strip out the effects of inflation, giving us a clearer picture of what money is truly worth. Imagine comparing the price of a car today with its price 10 years ago. If you ignore inflation, you might misjudge whether it's really more expensive. By examining real values, economists and consumers alike can track whether true purchasing power is rising or falling, information that proves vital when planning for the future. Interest rates then enter the scene as the cost of borrowing money, a concept that touches nearly every financial decision you make, from taking out a mortgage to financing a small business. When interest rates are low, borrowing is cheaper, encouraging spending and investment. In recent years, statements by the Federal Reserve about adjusting these rates have had noticeable ripple effects, from home sales to stock market trends, making interest rate announcements must-hear events for businesses and households alike. With these foundational indicators under our belt, it's time to see who holds the reins of economic policy and how their tools work. In the modern U.S. economy, two distinct groups steer the ship: those behind monetary policy and those managing fiscal policy. Monetary policy resides with the Federal Reserve, often simply called the Fed, and revolves around managing the nation's money supply and influencing interest rates. Picture the Fed as a careful gardener tending to a thriving garden. By conducting open market operations, tweaking banks' reserve requirements, or using forward guidance to signal future moves, the Fed aims to keep the economic environment stable. Recent decisions to adjust interest rates in response to inflation shifts illustrate how these actions can cool an overheated economy or support growth when activity slows. Fiscal policy, on the other hand, is in the hands of Congress and the President and is all about government spending and taxation. Think of fiscal policy as the tuning of a grand orchestra. Through strategic public outlays and tax changes, officials seek to stimulate economic activity, address unemployment, and fund long-term projects like infrastructure or education. In the U.S., examples include stimulus packages designed to cushion downturns and tax reforms meant to spur investment in key industries. While monetary policy works more indirectly by adjusting the flow of money, fiscal policy often delivers an immediate boost or restraint, particularly in response to pressing social and economic needs. Imagine a scenario in which inflation begins to climb rapidly. The Fed might respond by raising interest rates, making loans more expensive, and tempering consumer spending. At the same time, the government could roll out targeted fiscal measures, perhaps direct aid to struggling households or incentives for businesses to balance the slowdown and protect vulnerable sectors. It's a bit like two different teams in a relay race, each with its own baton, working together, though not always perfectly in sync, to keep the overall performance strong. These distinctions have very real effects on everyday life. When the Fed tightens monetary policy, higher mortgage rates can slow home buying and reshape family budgets. Meanwhile, a new infrastructure bill endorsed by Congress and the President can create jobs, boost demand in construction and technology, and elevate consumer confidence. Such policy choices ripple outward, influencing stock markets, interest rates on loans, and the long-term growth trajectory of the economy. By unpacking these economic concepts, we aim to equip you with the vocabulary and intuition needed to navigate conversations about the economy. No longer will GDP, inflation, or real versus nominal values feel like cryptic jargon. Instead, they will become clear tools for understanding how decisions made in government offices, boardrooms, or at the Federal Reserve reverberate through our daily lives. As you listen, you might begin to spot these indicators in headlines, policy debates, and dinner table conversations, each one a signpost pointing toward shifts in the economic landscape. As we draw this introductory chapter to a close, take a moment to absorb the picture before you. GDP, inflation, unemployment, nominal and real values, and interest rates are not abstract statistics, but the heartbeat of our economy, each pulse telling a story of growth, challenge, and adaptation. When we consider monetary and fiscal policy, we see the hands guiding that heartbeat, striving to maintain balance in a world that never stands still. In the chapters ahead, we'll build on these foundations, exploring the intricate curves and relationships that economists use to map short-run economic dynamics. For now, rest assured that these definitions and distinctions serve as your roadmap, your guide to understanding what drives the economy and shapes the environment in which we all live, work, and plan for the future. Welcome to part two of our exploration. Now that we've laid out the key indicators and the basic tools of monetary and fiscal policy, it's time to map out how short-run macroeconomics comes to life through three essential curves: IS, LM, and FE. We'll build each curve step by step, tie their shifts to familiar news headlines, and then take you on a guided tour of a Bloomberg screen where these ideas really pulse. First comes the IS curve, our guide to equilibrium in the goods market, where planned investment and planned saving meet. Picture a headline reading, "New infrastructure bill spurs major investments." In this scenario, firms anticipating government contracts ramp up spending on equipment, technology, and construction. That extra demand nudges the IS curve to the right. For any given interest rate, the economy's output and income settle at a higher level. In everyday terms, it's like more ovens firing up in a bakery. More loaves are emerging because everyone expects a bigger appetite for bread. Next is the LM curve, which captures the balance between liquidity preference and the money supply. Imagine seeing Federal Reserve hints at rate hike to rein in excess liquidity. When the Fed signals a tighter stance, it effectively reduces the supply of money or raises the price of borrowing, shifting the LM curve upward. In practical terms, it's akin to a store suddenly limiting discount coupons. Shoppers adjust their plans as credit becomes scarcer and higher interest rates take hold. Then we arrive at the FE curve, shorthand for full employment output or potential output, the ceiling the economy can sustain without igniting inflation. A report titled "Record Job Growth and Rising Productivity Signal Full Employment Gains" suggests that labor markets are robust and firms can produce more without pushing up wages and prices. That optimism slides the FE curve to the right, indicating a higher sustainable level of production, like a restaurant upgrading its kitchen so it can serve more diners without any drop in service. These three curves don't exist in isolation. They dance together to shape the broader narrative. When you read, "Consumer confidence soars as spending reaches new heights," you're really witnessing an S-curve shift. Households and businesses are more willing to spend, driving up output. At the same time, if investors see stable financial conditions, that confidence can reinforce equilibrium across the curves. On the other hand, a headline such as "Central Bank's Sudden Move Sends Shockwaves Through Financial Markets" vividly illustrates an M-curve pivot. A shift in monetary policy ripples through borrowing costs, affecting investment and consumption, which in turn nudges the IS balance. To see this interplay in action, consider a large-scale infrastructure bill. As public works projects get greenlit, construction firms, suppliers, and service industries all feel a surge in orders, pushing the IS curve rightward. But if the Fed worries that the economy might overheat, it could tighten credit conditions, shifting the LM curve upward. Meanwhile, the new jobs and improved productivity from those same projects may expand the economy's capacity, nudging the FE curve outward. Headlines about rising inflation expectations, fresh legislative spending, and strengthening labor markets together paint the full picture of these simultaneous moves. Now let's step in front of a Bloomberg screen, the real-time canvas where these curves come alive. At the top, a scrolling ticker flashes snippets like Fed signals policy shift and Q3 earnings beat expectations. These bite-sized messages hint at LM curve dynamics, signaling evolving monetary conditions before official statements land. In one pane, you'll find charts of GDP growth, consumer spending, and infrastructure investment, data that echo the IS curve. Notice how surges in public or private spending translate into upward bumps on those lines. Nearby, a jobs report displays unemployment rates, job creation figures, and wage growth metrics. Our window into the FE curve, showing whether the economy is operating near or below its full employment potential. Another section features interest rates, yield curves, and liquidity indicators, numerical expressions of the LM curve at work. A sudden uptick in short-term yields or a flattening yield curve can foreshadow a policy shift, much like watching a conductor lift the baton. And a global panel, tracking foreign exchange rates, commodity prices, and overseas economic forecasts, reminds us that external shocks such as oil price swings can nudge each domestic curve in unpredictable ways. The magic of this interface is that no single chart stands alone. A jump in consumer confidence may coincide with a slight easing of credit spreads, while wage growth acceleration hints at rising capacity constraints. As you watch, you begin to see the curves in motion. One moves here, another responds there, and together they trace the contour of the economy's short-run path. As we wrap up this section, remember that the IS curve captures the heartbeat of spending and investment. The LM curve reveals the rhythm of money and liquidity, and the FE curve marks the economy's productive limits. Each headline you encounter, from policy announcements to job market surprises, is really a clue to these underlying shifts. The next time you scan a news site or glance at a market screen, imagine those curves in play, shaping the story behind every data point. Whether you're a curious newsreader or an aspiring economist eager to deepen your intuition, this framework gives you a lens to see beyond isolated figures and into the dynamic relationships that drive economic life. Enjoy your journey through these curves, and may every headline become a window into how our economy truly ticks. Let us step back in time to an era when industry first found its rhythm in the hiss of steam and the clang of iron, a world transformed by mechanized looms, steam engines, and labyrinthine canal networks. In the late 18th and early 19th centuries, entrepreneurs poured capital into factories, lured by the promise of lower costs and higher output. This torrent of investment resembles a rightward shift of the IS curve. For any borrowing cost, output rose as new mills sprang up along waterways, drawing raw materials in and sending finished goods out. Rural laborers streamed into burgeoning cities, their migration not only swelling factory payrolls, but also reshaping the economy's productive frontier, the FE curve, by expanding the workforce and fueling urban growth. Yet this burst of technological progress demanded more than just iron and steam. It required a financial framework to sustain it, and so modern banking was born. In England, the Peel Banking Act sought to impose discipline on a system prone to speculative excess by insisting that note issuance be backed by gold reserves. Across the Atlantic, the Second Bank of the United States emerged to regulate commerce and smooth credit flows. These early experiments in monetary policy mirror today's tinkering with the LM curve. When banks extended credit freely, it was as though the LM curve bent downward, making loans cheap and plentiful. When reserves were tightened, the curve shifted upward, and credit became scarcer. In both cases, policymakers wrestled with the delicate balance of fostering growth without letting it run wild. These financial forays were not without their booms and busts. Overextended banks, flush with optimism, sometimes unleashed waves of credit that propelled industrial capacity to unsustainable heights. Factories overproduced, inventories piled up, and speculative bubbles burst, leaving businesses and workers in their wake. In modern parlance, the IS curve had overshot its mark, while the LM curve, strained by erratic credit cycles, failed to steady the ship. These early crises taught a vital lesson. Monetary discipline must walk hand in hand with innovation if growth is to be lasting and stable. Beyond balance sheets and credit lines, the human story of the Industrial Revolution offers its own drama. As village life gave way to factory towns, whole communities were uprooted. The thundering machinery brought long hours, low wages, and crowded living quarters, laying bare stark inequities even as productivity soared. This juxtaposition of surging output with stagnant earnings foreshadows today's debates over automation and income distribution. The FE curve may move outward with every new invention, but unless policy addresses the social dimension, wages, working conditions, community well-being, prosperity remains uneven and fragile. Reflecting on these early years, we find parallels in modern policy debates. Central bankers, armed with sophisticated models and real-time data, still face the same fundamental questions as their predecessors. How much credit should flow into new ventures? When does stimulus tip over into speculation? Today's discussions of quantitative easing or negative interest rates echo the choices made by Peel and the bankers in Philadelphia and London. The tools have grown more complex, yet the core trade-off between fueling growth and preserving financial stability endures. The story of early industrial banking is at heart a tale of experimentation. These pioneers did not possess a foolproof blueprint. They learned by trial and error, sometimes overcorrecting, sometimes standing still while the world raced ahead. But each misstep refined their understanding of monetary policy's role in an evolving economy. Their experiments laid the groundwork for frameworks we now take for granted. The idea that central banks can shepherd liquidity to promote investment, or that credit contractions must be managed lest they choke off growth entirely. As you imagine those smoky banking halls and clattering workshops, remember that each decision, whether to issue more banknotes or tighten reserve rules, had ripple effects on production, employment, and price levels. The interplay of technology and finance then looks remarkably like the dynamic choreography of our modern IS, LM, and FE curves. Today's headlines, from an unexpected rate cut to a surge in factory output, are chapters in the same ongoing story that began with steam power. These historical echoes carry both caution and inspiration. Technological leaps drive the IS curve outward, promising greater efficiency and higher living standards. But without careful monetary and fiscal calibration, they can deepen inequalities or undermine stability. The FE curve reminds us that real growth depends on fully engaging labor and capital, while the LM curve cautions that credit, once unleashed, must be guided wisely. In closing this chapter on the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, bear in mind that innovation and policy have always been entwined. Every new machine and financial experiment taught us that progress must be nurtured by prudent governance. As you carry these lessons forward, look to the past for guidance. The pioneers of STEAM and banking discovered that true prosperity demands a partnership between creative entrepreneurs and vigilant policymaking. In our next chapter, we will explore how these early tensions resurfaced during major economic crises and bold interventions, episodes that further refine the tools and theories we rely on today. Until then, let the story of steam engines and banknotes remind you that every curve on an economic map tells a tale of human ambition, triumph, and the enduring quest for balance. As we step into a darker chapter of economic history, we turn our attention to an era that shook the world's financial foundations to their core. The stock market crash of 1929 did more than erase fortunes overnight. It triggered a profound collapse in spending and investment. Picture the IS curve, the measure of aggregate demand, suddenly snapping sharply to the left as businesses, gripped by fear, halted expansion projects and households slashed their purchases. Factories idled, rural incomes evaporated, and a sense of collective despair spread, much like a mighty engine sputtering to a stop. Yet the decline in demand was only half the story. The financial system itself came under siege as bank failures and depositor panic choked off the flow of credit. Imagine a once broad channel for loans narrowing into a bottleneck where even creditworthy firms found financing out of reach. This freeze in liquidity drove the LM curve into a rigid standstill, compounding the downturn and dragging the economy's productive capacity, or the FE curve, far below its true potential. Together, these twin blows created an almost perfect storm of shrinking output and escalating unemployment. Out of this crucible of crisis emerged the New Deal, an audacious experiment in large-scale fiscal intervention. To revive demand, Washington poured funds into public works projects, relief payments, and job creation programs, measures designed to push the IS curve back to the right when private activity had ground to a halt. These initiatives not only injected much-needed dollars into local economies, but also restored confidence at a time when optimism was in dangerously short supply. At the same time, policymakers began to rethink the monetary side of the equation, recognizing that a paralyzed banking system was deepening the slump. Gradual efforts to expand liquidity and prevent deflation laid the groundwork for a more coordinated approach, one that acknowledged the necessity of both fiscal stimulus and monetary support in a comprehensive recovery. Fast forward to the aftermath of World War II, and another remarkable chapter in economic renewal unfolds, this time on a global scale. The Marshall Plan funneled capital into shattered European industries, rebuilding infrastructure and jump-starting investment. Simultaneously, the GI Bill expanded educational opportunities and homeownership for returning U.S. veterans, boosting both human capital and residential construction. These parallel efforts nudged the IS curve rightward through immediate spending, while raising the FE curve by enlarging the economy's long-term productive capacity. Crucially, this period showcased a finely tuned partnership between fiscal and monetary authorities. Government outlays drove demand, and central banks kept interest rates low, ensuring that credit flowed smoothly to businesses and families alike. The lessons from these turbulent decades are strikingly relevant today. The Great Depression taught us that in the face of collapsing demand, bold fiscal measures can act as a lifeline when the private sector falters. Post-war reconstruction showed that pairing those measures with accommodative monetary policy magnifies their impact, preventing credit bottlenecks from stalling recovery. Rather than viewing fiscal stimulus and monetary accommodation as opposing strategies, we see them as complementary tools in a single toolkit, each curve on our economic map responding in turn to thoughtful, coordinated action. As modern economies navigate shocks, from financial crises to global pandemics, policymakers repeatedly draw on these hard-won insights. When governments boost spending to shore up demand, the IS curve lifts. When central banks ensure that money remains plentiful and borrowing rates stay low, the LM curve loosens. And as investment in infrastructure, education, and technology takes root, the FE curve stretches outward. In every crisis and recovery, The interplay of these three curves tells the story of decline and renewal. Let this chapter's journey through the Great Depression and post-war resurgence serve as a vivid reminder. Even the fiercest economic storms can be weathered when fiscal boldness and monetary vigilance move in concert. The architects of the New Deal and the post-war recovery orchestrated their policies much like a symphony, each instrument bringing its unique voice, yet harmonizing to restore growth. As we face tomorrow's challenges, their legacy guides us toward the same enduring truth. Prosperity demands not just innovation and ambition, but also the steady hand of coordinated policy to steer the course. As the sun set on an era of steady, predictable growth, the 1970s arrived with a jolt, a perplexing blend of sluggish economic activity and surging prices that defied conventional wisdom. Imagine preparing your favorite meal, only to find that the essential ingredient suddenly becomes scarce and far more expensive. This, in essence, is what stagflation felt like, a peculiar recipe in which growth slowed, unemployment climbed, and inflation soared all at once. In the familiar map of the economy, the curves we've come to know, the IS, LM, and FE curves, suddenly behaved in puzzling ways that even seasoned policymakers struggled to tame. The world was shaken by a dramatic reordering of the energy landscape. When OPEC orchestrated an oil embargo, oil prices rocketed upward. For an economy that depended on oil as the lifeblood of transportation, manufacturing, and daily energy needs, this was like a wrench thrown into a well-oiled machine. The shock didn't just raise the cost of a gallon of gas, it reverberated through production costs everywhere, curtailing output and effectively shifting the economy's productive frontier, the FE curve, inward. Even if factories ran on all cylinders, the economy could no longer sustain the same level of production without stoking further inflation. At the same time, the familiar tools for managing demand, fiscal stimulus and monetary easing, appeared less potent. Traditional Keynesian models had long suggested a trade-off between inflation and unemployment, but the simultaneous occurrence of both high inflation and high unemployment shattered that neat narrative. Consumers found their take-home dollars buying less, and businesses hesitated to invest amid unpredictable costs. The IS curve, mapping the balance of spending and saving, was caught between conflicting forces, while the LM curve began reflecting the deep uncertainty gripping financial markets. Supply shocks from higher energy costs and weakened demand combined to throw conventional policy playbooks into disarray. Into this turbulence stepped Paul Volcker, whose bold, decisive measures would come to define the era. Appointed head of the Federal Reserve, Volcker faced the daunting task of reining in rampant inflation. His approach was unyielding. He raised interest rates dramatically, even at the risk of short-term pain. Higher rates made borrowing expensive, dampening spending and investment. As credit tightened, the LM curve shifted upward, and economic actors began recalibrating their expectations. Volcker's action sent a clear signal that the Fed was prepared to curb money supply growth to restore price stability. This process, later called Volcker disinflation, was more than just a change in interest rates. It amounted to a profound reset of the economic narrative. Picture a ship caught in a storm that suddenly changes course, its captain steering with unwavering determination toward calmer waters. Central bank credibility was at stake. Firms, investors, and consumers needed to believe that the Fed's commitment to fighting inflation was genuine. Once that credibility took hold, expectations adjusted, wages and prices began stabilizing, and the combined shifts in the LM and IS curves gradually restored equilibrium, even as the FE curve battled ongoing capacity constraints. The era also gave rise to new economic theories that continue to influence policy debates today. Rational expectations theory argued that people form their forecasts based on all available information, including credible policy commitments. In this view, managing expectations could be more powerful than tinkering with demand alone. At the same time, supply-side economics emphasized boosting the economy's productive potential through tax reform, deregulation, and incentives for innovation to shift the FE curve outward. If a restaurant improves its kitchen and recipes, it can serve more diners without raising prices. Similarly, a more resilient supply framework would help the economy absorb shocks without triggering runaway inflation. These theoretical innovations were not academic abstractions, but guides for real-world policymaking. Credibility emerged as a stabilizer, a force that aligned the IS, LM, and FE curves in ways not solely dependent on immediate policy moves, but on the long-term trust in those moves. Yet the era's complexity reminded us that not every disturbance springs from fiscal or monetary levers. External factors, geopolitical tensions, commodity price swings, and supply disruptions can shift the FE curve inward and reshape the entire economic landscape. Reflecting on the 1970s, we see that effective policy demands both the right tools and the conviction to wield them amid unpredictable challenges. Supply shocks warn us that production cannot always keep pace with ambition, and it is the credibility of central banks that reassures market participants and sets the stage for recovery. As we transition from the fervor of post-war recoveries to the uncertainties of windswept markets and sudden shocks, we are reminded that economic policy is both an art and a science, a delicate dance that balances demand, money, and capacity. Stay with us as we continue our journey into the forces that shape our economic landscape, forces that, like an ever-changing symphony, require both careful orchestration and a keen ear for the unexpected. In the next chapter, we will witness how these lessons resurface in more recent crises, reinforcing that the balance between demand, money, and capacity remains as delicate and vital today as it was during those turbulent years of the 1970s. As the new millennium matured, the calm of the post-stagflation era was shattered by twin shocks that would test the limits of modern economic policy. In 2008, beneath a veneer of financial complexity lurked instability on an unprecedented scale, and almost overnight, an intricate web of credit markets unraveled. As headlines screamed, credit markets freeze amid banking panic and housing bubble burst triggers financial storm, the economy's deep undercurrents shifted dramatically. The IS curve, our measure of aggregate demand, behaved like a grand highway blocked by an unexpected roadblock. The collapse in credit availability and tighter lending standards forced businesses to halt planned expansions and consumers to rein in spending. Instead of the steady rightward drift driven by robust demand, the curve snapped sharply to the left, a clear signal that the private sector's engine had stalled. At the same time, banks' reluctance to lend turned the LM curve rigid. With short-term rates already near zero, conventional rate cuts offered little relief. Rather than sliding downward to ease borrowing costs, the LM curve remained stuck as liquidity dried up, deepening the downturn. Faced with this historic collapse, policymakers ventured into uncharted territory. The Federal Reserve launched quantitative easing, purchasing massive quantities of long-term securities to flood the system with liquidity. By signaling that ample funds were available, even when traditional channels were blocked, the Fed effectively shifted the LM curve down and to the right. When news broke that Fed launches quantitative easing to combat credit freeze, it marked not just another policy tweak, but a bold effort to restore faith in the financial system. Those emergency measures did more than prop up liquidity, they recalibrated expectations. Through forward guidance promising prolonged low rates, the Fed encouraged firms and households to resume spending and investment. Still, as belt-tightening consumers and cautious executives slowly regained confidence, the recovery felt gradual, as though the economy were nursing itself back to health under watchful care. Then, barely recovered from those shocks, the world was engulfed in the COVID-19 pandemic. In early 2020, lockdowns and social distancing mandates struck a dual blow. Consumer confidence plummeted, driving the IS curve sharply downward, while closed factories and snarled supply chains strained the economy's productive capacity. Headlines like pandemic forces shutdown of entire industries and unemployment soars as quarantine disrupts daily life narrated a crisis that was as much about lost output as it was about collapsed demand. In response, fiscal authorities rolled out historic stimulus packages, direct payments to households, expanded unemployment benefits, and programs such as the Paycheck Protection Program designed to keep businesses afloat. These measures propped up the IS curve when private spending had evaporated. In parallel, the Fed revived its unconventional toolkit: emergency lending facilities, aggressive asset purchases, renewed forward guidance to ensure liquidity continued flowing and to ease the LM curve's constraints. Such sweeping interventions were not without controversy. Critics warned of potential asset bubbles, long-term debt burdens, and unintended shifts in wealth distribution. Yet in the immediacy of crisis, the primary objective was unmistakable: prevent economic freefall by deploying every available tool. For the listener, each policy announcement and market reaction was more than a news alert. It was a visible move on the economic map. When newspapers proclaimed unprecedented stimulus checks boost consumer spending, they were charting an effort to shift the IS curve back toward stability. When central bankers spoke of ensuring liquidity in uncertain times, they were describing a deliberate adjustment of the LM curve, affirming that even when traditional levers failed, creative monetary policies would prevail. Looking back, the crises of 2008 and 2020 reveal a powerful truth. The dynamic shifts in our IS, LM, and FE curves are not abstract statistics, but narratives of real people. Families coping with lost income, businesses confronting uncertainty, communities striving for recovery. Through coordinated fiscal boldness and monetary vigilance, policymakers forged pathways back to stability, blending ingenuity with determination. As today's headlines echo the past and signal new challenges on the horizon, we are called to listen not merely to numbers and announcements, but to the stories they tell. Every shift in aggregate demand, every nudge in liquidity, and every change in productive capacity carries a tale of crisis, adaptation, and renewal. In this unfolding story of our shared economic destiny, the courage to experiment, the resolve to coordinate, and the wisdom to learn from each chapter will continue to light the way forward. Having seen how past revolutions shaped our world, we now cast our eyes to the horizon of tomorrow, where a new upheaval is stirring, not powered by steam or electricity, but by algorithms, data, and unexpected leaps in computational intelligence. Artificial intelligence, and its even more ambitious kin, artificial general intelligence, promise to reshape our economic landscape in ways that echo history, even as they chart a bold, unprecedented course. Imagine a bustling innovation hub where startups and tech giants alike pour resources into AI research and development. Every software breakthrough, every refined machine learning model, acts like an engine injecting fresh energy into the economic system. This surge in investment, much like public spending waves or business confidence booms in earlier eras, could push the IS curve, our measure of aggregate demand and investment, outward. Firms might channel unprecedented capital into upgrading operations, adopting new technologies, and rethinking business models, driving up output and consumption in a flurry of expansion reminiscent of past technological renaissances. Yet this image of rapid innovation carries complexity, especially when we consider the labor market and the economy's capacity to absorb change. History shows that technological revolutions often expand production possibilities, shifting the FE curve rightward with productivity gains. Yet the AI era adds a twist unique to our time. Automation can boost efficiency in tasks once reserved for human hands, freeing workers for creative or higher value roles. At the same time, it may displace traditional jobs, creating pockets of short-term disruption and uncertainty. As firms embrace intelligent systems, the pool of conventional labor may dwindle relative to the new demands of a digital economy, prompting us to rethink full employment and productive capacity in an age where human and machine labor intertwine. Central banks, too, stand at a crossroads. The familiar toolkit of steering short-term interest rates and managing liquidity may face novel challenges in an AI-driven world. As investors flock to cutting-edge sectors, asset prices in emerging industries might surge beyond fundamental values, stoking the risk of bubbles. The LM curve, our map of money market equilibrium, could be reshaped by shifting perceptions of risk, technological progress, and the speed at which monetary innovation itself must evolve. Just as past policymakers wrestled with speculative booms and busts, today's central bankers must balance optimism about AI's promise with vigilance against the perils of rapid, unmeasured expansion. We can draw clear parallels with earlier transformations. In the early 20th century, electrification revolutionized production methods and redefined how societies lived, worked, and connected. Electric motors replaced steam engines, spawning entirely new industries and igniting productivity gains that shifted the FE curve outward. In much the same way, integrating AI may reorganize our economic fabric, calling for a blend of bold innovation, careful policy calibration, and the measured wisdom of those who understand that technological change, while unstoppable, must be guided to benefit all. For the attentive listener navigating this new frontier, practical signposts are already emerging. Quarterly productivity reports showing rising output per worker in automation-intensive sectors may herald an outward shift in the FE curve. Capital expenditure surveys that illuminate investments in AI infrastructure offer clues to an expanding IS curve driven by business confidence. Wage growth metrics in roles most affected by automation reveal tensions in the FE curve, either rapid upskilling or pressures on traditional labor. And when central bankers deliver forward guidance at gatherings like the Jackson Hole Symposium, their words provide insights into how they plan to recalibrate the LM curve amid a swiftly evolving landscape. While the technologies change, the underlying challenges, balancing growth, stability, and social well-being, remain remarkably familiar. Looking ahead, the story of artificial intelligence and potential artificial general intelligence is still in its opening chapters, yet the contours of our economic map, IS, LM, and FE, are already in motion. The interplay of booming investment in intelligent systems, labor market adjustments, and the responses of an adaptive monetary framework paints a portrait of profound change. Navigating this transformation demands both the vision of innovators and the prudent oversight of policymakers, carrying forward the dual mandate of fostering progress while safeguarding against unforeseen pitfalls. I invite you, as a listener and thoughtful observer of economic trends, to embrace this evolving narrative as an opportunity for active engagement. Each headline, each data release, and each measured utterance from central bankers is more than a statistic. It is a thread in the unfolding tapestry of our collective future. By connecting these threads, you can help illuminate how the familiar curves of the economic map bend and shift under the weight of unprecedented innovation. Now, as we stand at the dawn of an AI-driven era, remember that the lessons of history are not relics, but guides for shaping tomorrow. The courage to embrace innovation, balanced by policies that anticipate its disruptions, has always defined enduring progress. Let the transformative potential of AI inspire a renewed commitment to building an economy that works for every member of our community. Engaging with curiosity, critical thinking, and a commitment to shared prosperity, we can all contribute to the next chapter in the grand narrative of progress. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.